unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, one day King David was sitting in his beautiful palace. He decided that it wasn't right that he should be dwelling in such a beautiful home, and that the Lord dwelt among his people in a tabernacle or a tent. King David decided that he would build a beautiful house for God where God's people could come together and worship. He discussed this with the prophet Nathan, who proceeded to encourage him to go ahead with his plans. However, that very night, the Lord appeared to Nathan the prophet and told him to inform David, "You shall not build me a house to dwell in." Furthermore, Nathan was to inform David that a son of his would have the privilege of building that beautiful temple. King David's son, Solomon, was privileged to build a beautiful temple which was dedicated to the glory of God. There was a very elaborate dedication service. There were special prayers. There were many types of sacrifices and special words of instruction for all of the people. From the outset, the people were to understand that the temple symbolized God's presence among his people, and that they were to be his people in truth and in deed. They were not to be his people in name only. Our theme for our meditation this morning is God's people, in name only or in deed. Our text is the word of God written in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 7, beginning at verse 12. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as a covenanted as it was with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all people. And as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and his house? Then they will answer, because the people forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and embraced other gods, and worshipped them and served them. Therefore he has brought all this calamity on them. God knew the history and the nature of his people, the chosen people of Israel. In our text we have God's response to prayer, to the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple. A portion of Solomon's prayer is expressed with these words: when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they make them captive to a land far or near, yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent, and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done wrong, and have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried captive, and pray toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city of which you have chosen, and toward the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open, and let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. Solomon showed that he also knew the nature and the history of God's people. What was their history? When things were going well, they forgot about God, and they acted as if they didn't need him. And then they also forgot to worship the one true God. And when things weren't going well, then they complained against the Lord's leaders. Think how they complained against Moses, for example. And they also complained against God. What is our history as a nation? When things are going well, many forget all about God. They forget all about worshiping God. And when things don't go well, then we complain about the people who are in positions of authority and power, who ought to be leading us in a different way, and we also complain about God too. Millions in our land who once knew God have turned their backs upon God and live and act as if they don't need him. They reject him, they deny him, yes, they want nothing to do with him, and they even insist that God doesn't even exist. Yes, indeed, God knows the nature and history also of our nation. What does it really mean to be God's people? We are God's people when we believe and trust in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when we believe that God the Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to fulfill all of the commandments in our place where we fail, and who suffered and died on Calvary's cross to redeem us and take away all our sins, and then who rose again on Easter morning to conquer death and the devil. To be God's people means much more than merely having your name written on a church roster or somewhere. For many people, that is nothing more than what we would call a paper membership. In the area of sports, of which there's so much emphasis in the field of education in these days, if you are an enthusiastic supporter, you're called a fan. On the other hand, in Christianity, if you are an enthusiastic supporter of God's Son and your Savior, then you're called a fanatic. When you believe in Jesus Christ as the only Savior for time and eternity. During the days of Jesus' public ministry, he confronted many Jewish people who thought that they were the people of God just because they were descendants of Abraham according to the flesh. The evangelist John writes, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone," which of course was a bold lie. They were in bondage to the Romans at that particular time. But now they said they're in bondage to no one. "Therefore," Jesus says, "if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." The devil is the father of lies, and he has many, many followers today in work, in business, many followers in government, and also in many churches. You cannot be a follower of God and a follower of the devil at the same time. To be one of God's children means that you have to have something other to say than, "I had a pious and a religious mother or grandmother." That doesn't help you any unless you believe what that pious mother and grandmother believed, namely, in the one true God. God makes us one of his people. He taps us on the shoulder and he says, "You are a sinner." He calls us to repent humbly for all of our sins, and then he leads us out of spiritual darkness into the marvelous, glorious light of the gospel. He leads us to see and believe that message of peace and pardon spoken by our Heavenly Father. Your sins are all forgiven. Not because of what you have done, but because of what my Son has done. He suffered and died on Calvary's cross to wash all those sins away. By faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior, we become the people of God indeed. Our faith and our trust is shown then by the life that we live. That is summarized in the words of our text. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek and pray and seek my face, and then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." Our Vice President-elect, Governor Pence, expressed those words a few weeks ago at the close of one of his speeches to let the people know what direction we ought to go and where our blessing really will come from. We often speak of the United States as being a Christian country. Whether that is true for our nation is debatable. This past week, 2 days have had special significance in the history of our country. On Friday, we observed what we call Veterans Day, when we remember those who have served in the military in the past and those who are serving now, in order to maintain for us the blessings and the freedoms that we enjoy. In a violent world of war, we need people serving, of course, in the military. On Tuesday of this past week, the voters of our land elected a president-elect and vice-president-elect and also some other newly elected officials, and then many were re-elected as leaders. Pray God that the leaders in our land will heed and follow God's word instead of man's word. Pray God that we as citizens will take these words of our text to heart. If my people who are called by my name, and so forth. Yes, let us come humbly and penitently into the presence of our gracious God and pray that his hand of blessing will remain upon us. In the epistle lesson that was read to you a short time ago from St. Paul's epistle to the young preacher Timothy, you heard his urging, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God wants people who are called by his name to be on their knees praying that we might have a peaceful country and a peaceful community where the glory of God is revealed. Let's seek God's face, the smiling face of a forgiving God who so loved us that he sent his Son to be our Savior. In his epistle to the Romans, the Apostle Paul demonstrates how great that love of God is when he says God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ suffered and died to redeem sinners, not perfect people. The author of our text urges us to turn from our ways of wickedness and to return to God. Let's resolve to change our sinful ways and let us urge others also to do the same. And when that takes place, then we have God's promise. I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. That promise of God is very definite, and it applies to every nation on the face of the earth. The author of the book of Proverbs writes, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In conclusion to Solomon's prayer, the Lord told him what would happen if he and the people would forsake the one true God. He said, if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will be cast out of my sight. These words of the Lord have an application for every generation unto the end of time. It's spelled out very clearly and simply in the words of Holy Scripture. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Moses wrote, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian congregation, There is no other God but one. A few weeks ago, in a news interview, Dr. Ben Carson was asked, "What is really the trouble in America?" And his answer was very brief and very simple. The people of America need a good dose of God. That might be an unusual way to express it, but we know what he was saying. Many people ignore God, defy God, deny God, refuse to worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we need to pray, Lord, lead us and the people of our land to worship the one true God. The call of the hour might well be these words of our text. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God keeps his promises. When our first parents, Adam and Eve, had fallen into sin, God promised to send a Savior. He repeated that promise time and time again throughout the Old Testament times. And then he sent his Son, who became also the Son of Man, born of the Virgin Mary, to be our Savior. When God promises to forgive our sins and heal our land, it is always rooted in these words: you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so we pray, O God, hear our prayers. Call our nation to repentance and faith, forgive our sins, and then heal our land. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.